So Eugene will do that reading. Witt said he'll take care of the second, another him, and then...
Connie, I gotta tell you, this chicken cordon bleu is terrific. Or, as they say in France, sous poulet cordon bleu et merveilleux. You should have some.
Oh, no thanks. I'm not hungry. Did you just speak French?
Okay, the florist is taken care of.
Why did my mom make me the main speaker for her funeral? What made her think I'd be able to talk about anything after she died? Oh, she's gone.
Tissues, Wilton.
Yeah, I got a whole bunch right here.
Oh, I'll get it.
Okay, if it's somebody bringing more food, you're going to have to eat, Connie, because we're out of room in the kitchen.
Hi.
Hi. Is this Connie Kendall's apartment?
Dad? Dad? Oh.
Oh, Connie.
Oh, Dad, this is terrible. I'm so glad you're here.
Came as fast as the plane would get me here.
Oh, come in. This is Penny. My roommate.
Hello.
Hi.
And our friend Wooten.
Bonjour.
Bonjour.
This is Bill Kendall, my father. Oh, Dad, come in. Sit down.
Are you hungry? We have a lot of food.
No, thanks. Oh, wait, I have somebody with me.
Who? Oh, you got married again?
No. Come in, sweetheart.
Are you sure? I can wait in the car.
No. Come in.
Who's this?
This is Jules.
Oh, hi, Jules.
Jules, this is Connie, Peggy, and Wilbur.
Penny and Wooten.
Hi.
I'm okay with Wilbur.
Jules...
Kendall.
Is she a cousin?
She's my daughter.
I think I'll go see if anything's burning in the kitchen.
I don't smell anything.
Wooten?
Huh?
Come on.
Dad, I thought you said this wouldn't be awkward. You know how I hate awkward.
How is she your daughter?
I never mentioned Jan, did I? She was my wife before April. Or maybe it was right after.
Jan, June, April, May? Seriously, Dad, you never mentioned another wife.
Well, she wasn't worth mentioning because the marriage only lasted a few months.
You're talking about my mom, you know.
Your mother doesn't think I'm worth mentioning either, so we're even.
That's fair.
Dad, can we go back to the part where you've shown up for my mother's funeral and you brought a half-sister I didn't know that I had?
You know how I hate funerals. I didn't want to be here alone.
What am I, a peeled potato?
Dad, can you have this argument later? I'm really tired.
Okay, sweetheart. Connie, I need the key to your mom's house.
What? Why?
Well, I thought we could stay there since, well, it's empty now, and it'd be more home-like than the hotel.
Dad, can we go into the other room to discuss this?
If you want.
Penny, Wooten?
Yes?
You call?
Please keep Jules company while my father and I chat.
What's wrong?
What's wrong?
Yes.
Seriously?
Yes.
So, Jules? What's Jules short for?
July.
Oh, cool. There's a calendar theme going on in your family. You know, my parents wanted names that began with the letter X, but once you use Xavier, you're pretty much done. Though I always wanted to be called Xylophone.
So this must be really weird for you, meeting your half-sister at your father's ex-wife's funeral?
This happens all the time with my dad. Not the funeral part, just the weirdness. He's only brought me here because it's his week.
Week for what?
Okay.
Child custody and all that.
All right, Jules, let's go.
To where?
A hotel. Apparently I'm being callous and insensitive by wanting to stay at my former wife's house. Though I'm sure I paid for most of the furniture. I think June would have been okay with it.
Well, she's not here.
That's my point.
Stop it, Dad. Jules can stay here with me if she wants, but I'm not comfortable letting you invade Mom's house.
Invade? Is that what we're doing? Terrific. Let's go, Jules.
I told him this was a bad idea.
Jules?
I'm coming. Nice to meet you, Peggy.
Penny.
And Wooten.
Wilbur.
Good night, sis.
Good night, Jules. I really would like to talk to you under better circumstances.
There are no better circumstances when Dad's around.
How could he do that? Now, of all times!
You said he was good at creating chaos.
Yeah, but this is a totally new high, or low. I need to take a walk.
Thank you. take it you were surprised.
That my dad showed up with something new to disrupt my life? No, not really. That he showed up with a half-sister I didn't know I had? Yes.
You must be exhausted. Have something to drink.
Oh, thanks, Eugene. This is so typical.
Well, I won't give him high marks for his timing.
For him, it's perfect timing. Because it puts the focus back on him.
Why do you think he does that?
Because he's selfish.
Is that it?
Do you think there's something else?
I have to wonder if he does it as a diversion.
A diversion from what?
From the things that are really bothering him. Pain, guilt, a particular kind of emptiness that living without God can bring.
Really?
I'm just guessing, based on everything you've told me. For some people, being the center of attention keeps them from centering on the thing that should get their attention.
I can attest to what Mr. Whitaker is saying. As one who was not a believer once, the thought of death intensified my sense of loneliness and despair. One might do almost anything to escape those feelings.
Fine. I want to stay angry with my dad, and you're talking me out of it. Well, I prayed on the way over that God would help me with my feelings about him. It's weird. This morning I was here, and it was business as usual. And then suddenly, bang!
A gun went off?
I think the bang was to represent the suddenness of change.
Oh, sorry. I tend to take things literally when I'm trying to quell intense internal conflict.
Eugene, is your intense internal conflict because my mom died?
Yes. My loss of her occasional companionship and my affection for you has stirred up a surprising amount of grief and sadness. If you'll both excuse me.
This is a wild day. Eugene hugged me earlier, and now he says he has affection for me.
Did you ever doubt it?
No, but it's still good to hear him say it. Why does it take a death to get us to say the things we ought to say all the time?
Maybe it's the sudden realization that we don't have as much time as we think. Would you like me to drive you home?
Thanks. Suddenly I feel really, really tired.
Connie, you want to be careful not to do what your dad may be doing.
Meaning?
Creating diversions to cover your real feelings.
How would I do that? Penny, are all the pallbearers here?
Yep, all are present and accounted for.
They know they have to be at the back of the church during the final comments from the pastor.
Yes, they know.
But they should go back before the pastor starts talking, not during. I don't want to distract from his eulogy.
Okie dokie.
Okay, now Eugene, don't forget, you will do the reading after the second hymn.
All hail the power of Jesus' name. Yes, Connie, I remember.
And you should walk up to the podium on the last verse, okay?
Right, right.
Connie?
Where's my dad? Wooten!
Yes, Connie?
What are you doing?
Standing here.
Will you please find my dad?
Oh, right away. And do what with him?
Well, if he's not here, get him here. If he's here, then keep him from sneaking out.
And if he refuses to comply with either scenario?
Persuade him.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I always thought he'd be late for his own funeral, but not my mother's. There's no excuse.
Connie?
What?
Take a minute.
Huh?
Remember our talk last night about diversions?
Yeah?
Calm down. I know you're in your get-it-done mode, but this isn't a production. Nobody expects everything to happen like a precise and polished performance. Remember, we're here to celebrate your mother's life and to mourn our loss.
Yeah, you're right.
Sit down for just a minute.
I can't.
Why not?
Because I will start to cry. And it won't be pretty, petite crying. It'll be that loud, blubbering crying that no one wants to hear. And my mascara will run, and my lip will quiver.
Connie, I'm sure quite a few of us will be doing that. I know I will.
Yeah, but your mascara won't run. Will you pray with me, Whit?
Of course. Dearest Heavenly Father, we thank you for both the joy and the sorrow we all feel today.
Thank you all for coming. I think my mom would have been pleased and even a little embarrassed to have so many people turn up to fuss about her. I was thinking while Pastor Dean was talking about Mom's work here at the church, how she decided to become a Christian after my grandmother's funeral. And everyone knows how well she followed Jesus with all her volunteering and Bible studies and work at the thrift shop. And now all that effort is done and she's face to face with the one she served. And that's what we're celebrating today. But it's also okay for us to grieve. I mean, it's kind of self-pity, really, since we're grieving for ourselves, that she isn't with us now. And that leaves a huge hole for some of us. Oh no. I promised myself I wouldn't cry. I'll just say this real fast. I love you, Mom. Thank you, well, for everything, and I'll see you later. That's all I want to say.
As we sing the final hymn, we'd like everyone to make their way to the back of the church. The coffin will be carried across the parking lot to the church's cemetery for the interment. Now, please turn to hymn 147.
Sorry about your mom, Connie.
Thank you.
Let us know if you need anything.
Okay. I'll see you later.
That was a lovely service, Connie.
Thanks for all your help, Eugene.
We'll see you at your mother's house.
Okay.
Well, Connie, the funeral director said they'd be ready to lower the casket in a few minutes. Do you want to take some time to be alone with your mom?
Yeah, I would. Though I really thought my dad would have made it in time for this part.
I saw your dad. Didn't Wooten tell you?
I haven't seen Wooten since before the funeral. Where's my dad?
Well, sitting in his car.
Huh?
Right over there.
Please tell the funeral director to wait. I'll be right back. Dad?
Hi, Connie.
What are you doing here? Come over to the grave.
Oh, you know how I feel about graves and funeral-related activities.
Were you there? I had Wooten looking all over for you.
He found me. He persuaded me to stay.
How?
He offered me a week's supply of licorice if I stuck around for the whole thing.
That did the trick?
Well, it was strawberry-flavored. I expect him to make good on it.
Oh, he will.
I stood just outside the door. You did your mother proud.
Thanks. Look, I'm sorry about not letting you stay at the house.
Well, I shouldn't have asked. Jules lectured me the whole way to the hotel.
You could have told me, you know, about Jules.
Why? You're here in your world, she's in hers. After this, you'll probably never see her or speak to each other again.
Where is she now?
She's inside looking at the flowers. Anything to get away from me. Funerals make me grumpy, as you know.
You remember when Grandma died?
I don't want to talk about that. I'm still ashamed of how I acted.
She was your mother, Dad. You were grieved. It made you a little crazy.
No more than usual. Believe it or not, I have enough self-awareness to know what a deeply self-centered man I am. Even now, all I can think about is how your mother's death is making me feel.
How does it make you feel?
Sad. Guilty. Deficient. I'm good at self-pity, you know.
What if these are the times when God is trying to get you to look beyond your self-pity?
Well, it might be true if I believed in God, but I don't.
But, Dad...
Don't start.
They're about to lower the coffin. Come over to say goodbye.
No, thanks. I'd rather not.
Well, then come back to the house for the reception.
Look, Connie, I'm not staying. I have to get back to L.A.
Dad?
Go say goodbye to Jules. I'll wait here.
do love you, you know.
I know, Connie. And I love you, too. As well as someone like me can love anyone.
Got it.
I wish I'd been a better father for you.
Dad, it turned out all right.
Maybe that's all we can hope for.
Jules?
You know, I never realized how quiet churches get when no one's around. It was a nice funeral. It was different from what I expected. But Dad warned me.
Warned you about what?
What you believe, how you live, that kind of thing.
What about you?
I don't do religion. I'm more into the food chain philosophy.
Oh yeah, what's that?
You know, we're just part of the food chain. You live, you struggle to survive, you suffer, and then you die.
That's depressing.
Depressing is really in right now. Angst, jadedness.
But that's so wrong. Life is supposed to be more than that.
Maybe. But considering what you just experienced, you can't deny the suffering part.
No, but, well, what suffering specifically? Are you telling me you suffer?
As only an upper middle class girl living in a big house in Southern California can.
Seriously.
I could get shot in a drive-by, or die in a car crash, or get cancer. And what was the point of my life? I mean, I'm sure your mom was a great lady, and lots of people loved her, but in the end, she's gone. The food chain goes on without her.
Yeah, but my mom goes on too. In eternity. God sent his son so that life wouldn't be about suffering and death or what happens to just our bodies. He died for us and saved us so we could live forever, so that life could have meaning.
Yeah, sure. That sounds good as a theory.
It's not a theory, it's the truth.
Great. So Jesus saves you, and what? You still suffer, right? What's the difference between your truth and my truth?
The difference is that, well, God comforts us, and oh, it's hard for me to explain.
Most unexplainable things are hard to explain.
You know, it's funny. You sound just like me when I first moved here.
Really? And what would the you now say to the you then?
I'd say, you're wrong. God loves you very much, and you'll understand that if you give him a chance.
And those words would work for you?
Well, no, I had to see it to believe it.
Yeah, well, I don't get to see God all that much where I live.
That's sad. Oh, what was that?
Dad, he's texting me that it's time to go.
What time's your flight?
As soon as we get to the airport. Dad's plane is ready when we are.
He has his own plane?
Well, it belongs to his company. Some communications thing he invested in, and they went big. I think you said they own your newspaper, the Odyssey Telegraph?
Times.
Whatever. He flies back and forth between New York and LA a lot.
Wow, I didn't know that. There are a lot of things I don't know.
I put my info into this sympathy card. If you want to stay in touch, I mean, since we have the same father, it seems like we ought to. But no pressure.
Well, I always wanted to have a little sister.
I can't promise I'll be much of that, but we can email or text or do the social network thing.
Okay.
Bye, Connie.
Bye, Jules. I'm getting tired of saying goodbye.
Connie?
Hi.
Everyone's downstairs and they're asking about you. Are you okay?
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, this was your old room, wasn't it?
Yeah, though it wasn't this tidy when I lived in it.
The skylight is, interesting.
That was a failed attempt to create a stained glass effect. Make a note, magic markers don't work well for that. My mom was furious.
But I'm sure deep down inside she was proud of your artistry.
Not at all. You know, I didn't like this room when we first moved here. It was smaller than the bedroom I had in L.A. Or at least I thought it was smaller. Now that I look at it, I'm not sure it really was. In fact, it's probably bigger. But I complained about everything then. I didn't want my mom and dad to divorce. I didn't want to move to this small backwards town. Everything seemed out of my control. Which hasn't changed now that I think about it.
Maybe you should come downstairs. Get around some people now.
I had a talk with Jules about suffering and death. She said we're all just part of an evolutionary food chain.
Well, she had the heavy black eyeliner of someone who'd talk like that. She's got her father's timing, too.
Well, today I could see her point of view. It hurts, Penny. Losing my mom really hurts.
I know it does, Connie. But remember your faith. It's about life, not suffering and death.
Yeah, I know, but I couldn't find the words to say that to Jules. The pain didn't mean anything. It just hurt. I mean, I've heard all the theological explanations. Because we're in a sinful world, or because we have free will, or because we don't have free will, or because it's good for us somehow. But when people are really suffering, all those things don't mean much. Not for my dad or Jules.
Or you?
I just want to think about it. If or when I talk to Jules again, I want to be able to say something that'll make sense.
Is now the right time to think about it, though?
Now may be the best time.
Come downstairs, Connie. Your friends want to show you they love you.
Yeah, now's the best time for that, too, I guess.
Oh, and there's a guy I've never seen before looking for you. He said his name is Jeff Lewis.
Jeff Lewis? Really?
Uh-huh. Who is he?
He was my first love.
Really?
You know, sometimes it takes a big change in life, like a death in the family, to realize just how many people care about us. On today's show, the people close to Connie came around her with love and showed that love in ways that meant a lot to her. When we see others in pain, we may not always know what to say to them, but sometimes it's enough to be available as a good friend, bringing comfort by being there to help and serve. Adventures and Odyssey is a presentation of Focus on the Family. Life Expectancy was written and directed by Paul McCusker, with sound design by Christopher Deal and music by John Campbell. Our executive producer was Dave Arnold. Our cast included Alan Berkman, Jess Harnell, Shona Kennedy, Katie Lee, Kimmy Robertson, Will Ryan, and Andre Stoika. And I'm Chris, hoping you'll join us again next time for more Adventures in Odyssey.